the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. 462.
From the Word of God, we will read this evening hour the Gospel recorded by John, the 19th chapter, commencing at verse 25, and then into chapter 20. John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he said true, saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they've pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, the for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father have sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. May God bless unto us the word of truth. May he help us to bow before his throne in prayer. Almighty, eternal Lord God, we ask that this evening hour, that thou wouldst show us thy glory, the glory of a risen, triumphant, ascended, exalted, reigning Saviour, a revealed Christ, a revealed Saviour. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw near unto us and speak to us and reveal thyself unto us in the Scriptures. May we find Christ precious this evening. And Lord, may we have that wonder of knowing that we are precious to thee. Precious in eternity past. Precious in this time state. Precious when we stand before thy holy throne of judgment. And precious in an eternity to come. We pray, Lord, that Satan will be shut out this evening. And that the world and the flesh and the devil and earthly cares may be shut out. But Lord, we pray that we might be found within these doors, within these walls, and blessed with the very presence of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, as thou dost come, help us to worship thee. Help us to honour thee. Help us to adore thy holy majesty. Help us to crown thee, Lord of all. And Lord, do speak to one and another. We fear thou not. Do say to others, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Do speak that pardon, that peace. Do show unto us thy hands, thy feet, thy head, thy side. Do give the wound where there is no wound. Do give life where there is no life. Do give sight where there is blindness. Give light where there is darkness. Warmth and heart burning where there is coldness. Do draw near to those who are afar off. And draw near, Lord, to those who are near to thee, and keep them from wandering and straying afar off. But Lord, come, we pray this evening, and could it please thee to attend to each case before thee. And attend to the cases of those unable to be here or for whatever reason. And command thy blessing from above. Give us, Lord, those hearing ears. Give us, Lord, that understanding heart. Give us, Lord, submissive feet. Make us jealous for thine honour and glory. And may we examine ourselves as to whether we are bringing that honour and glory to thy life, in our lives. Lord, we began by asking that thou would show us thy glory. But Lord, we ask that thou wouldst enable us to bring honour and glory to thy name with obedient, consistent lives. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst put us in that cleft rock, that only place where thy glory was revealed to Moses. And where thy glory is revealed to each of thy people without being consumed. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. So, Lord, come this evening. Be the master of the assembly and the head of the house. May we be conscious of thy presence, and may thy presence abide. As we leave thy house, may we not leave thy presence behind here in the chapel, but going, may we take thee to our homes. May we know that presence with us, walking with us, talking with us, leading us, guiding us through the week to come. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art a guide, a friend, a saviour. We thank thee, Lord, that there is a way back for sinners. We thank thee, Lord, that there is a cleft rock, there is a hiding place. And we ask this evening hour that we might each be put within that cleft rock, even Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we prove thee to be the friend of sinners. May we prove that thou dost still eat and drink with sinners, that thou dost still welcome sinners, that thou dost still bless sinners. We ask for Jesus' sake, amen.
Hymn 767. Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine, let thy light within me shine. All my guilty fears remove with atoning blood and love. 767.
Thank you.
the Lord's help, we turn this evening to the Gospel recorded by John, the 20th chapter, 16th verse. The Gospel recorded by John, chapter 20, verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. These are the first recorded words of the risen, triumphant Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And they are spoken to a woman. A woman who was once a great sinner. A woman who was once completely possessed and devoted to the service of Satan. A woman who, if you had met in her days before Jesus met with her for the first time, you certainly wouldn't have believed that she would be the first one whom the risen Lord would have chosen to have spoken to. Mary Magdalene is a case of triumphant grace. We are told that the Lord cast out 7 devils from her. And before those devils were cast out, she must have been quite a character. Totally depraved, in an awful state, completely at the will of Satan. And the thing that stands out with Mary after the Lord met with her and cast out those devils, the thing that stands out was her love and her gratitude to her Lord and Saviour that he had delivered her from so great a bondage. Her faith in this chapter was small in many ways. She was seeking a dead Christ instead of a living Christ. But there were few that loved so deeply and showed that love as Mary Magdalene did. It was Mary Magdalene that followed the Lord to the cross. And it was Mary Magdalene who stayed by that cross, watching every long, sorrowful hour until the Lord of life and glory died upon that cross. And even then, she didn't leave, she stayed there. Until Pilate gave leave for that body to be taken down, and then she followed that body to the grave. We don't read that the disciples were there. They were nowhere to be seen. But Mary Magdalene was there, her heart broken, swallowed up with grief, not understanding what had happened. But she still loved her Lord and Saviour and her Master. And even in these surrounding verses, she still refers to him as my Lord. The whole world had been turned upside down. She hadn't expected the Lord of life and glory to die so ignominiously upon that cross. But even in death, she calls him my Lord. She had love. She loved much. She loved much because she was forgiven much. Covet that love. Ask God to give you such a love to him that it is evident in your life. And when people look at you, it may be said of you, he loves the Lord, or she loves the Lord. But here we find Mary on the first day of the week. She had been the last to leave the body of Jesus, and she was the first to go to that sepulchre with those other women. And we read the account, and we are so familiar with the account that we don't perhaps realize just what a great thing it was those women were doing. They were going forth unarmed, weak, not strong. What were they facing? They were facing a sepulchre with a great big stone rolled across the entrance. Too heavy for them to roll away. One of the other Gospels we read, as they went, they said one to another, "Who will roll us away the stone?" Unbelief would have said, you can't unroll that stone away yourself. You may as well stay at home and not bother. But they still ventured. And God honors venturing faith. It may seem this evening hour that you have got a heavy stone and you can't roll it away. And the devil has said, you may as well not bother and give up. But this is the word of the Lord to you this evening. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. The stone isn't going to be rolled away sitting at home. It wasn't for those women. They had to venture forth. And as they ventured forth, the Lord supplied that need, and he saw they had that need. And he delivered them of that need in a wonderful way. And so you're going to prove it too. God honors venturing faith. But then again, it wasn't just a stone. That stone was sealed with the seal of Pilate. That sepulchre was surrounded by armed guards. A lot stronger than these women, and quite prepared to defend that sepulchre with the full force of the law and the full force of Pilate's seal. Their going forth was an act of rebellion against Pilate. Unbelief would have said you are facing certain arrest, if not worse. And you could well be crucified yourselves. Pilate was known as a very cruel man. And in the end, his cruelty was his undoing when he had to be recalled to Rome. He would have had no scruples in dealing very harshly with these women. But God protected them. But God took care of them. And not a hair of their head fell to the ground that day. Why? Because God loved them with an everlasting love. And when they come to that sepulchre, and they see the stone rolled away, Mary Magdalene immediately turns around and leaves the other women at that sepulchre and runs to Peter and to John. And all that she can think of is that they have taken away the body of Jesus to do it more dishonor. And she goes to Peter and to John to assist in trying to find that body. And Peter and John go to that sepulchre. They stoop down. They see the linen clothes lying. And then they go away again. But him they saw not. How often is it like that with us? We come to the house of God, but him we see not. In the morning or in the evening, we open the word of God to read. We read a portion, but him we see not, and we're satisfied. Friends, Mary is a rebuke to our coldness of heart. Instead of being satisfied, we should earnestly pray all the more that God would in mercy reveal himself unto us. Mary was not satisfied leaving that sepulchre until she had found Jesus. May God give us such faith, such a religion, that we are not satisfied with just opening the word of God and yet putting it down again like any other book. Whenever you come to open the word of God, before you open it, breathe a silent prayer, Lord, reveal thyself to me. When you come to the house of God, as you come across the door, ask the Lord in prayer, Lord, meet with me today. It won't always be a word of comfort and encouragement. Sometimes it will be a word of rebuke. Sometimes it will be a word of direction. Sometimes it will be a word of exhortation. Sometimes it will be a word of teaching. And sometimes, yes, it will be a word of blessing. But beloved friends, may we be given more of that spirit of Mary, not to go away satisfied, not seeing the Lord. And then here we have her then, Mary weeping at this sepulchre. Even though there was no real cause for weeping, had she found Christ in that sepulchre dead, there would have been cause for weeping. Because had he remained in that grave, there would have been no hope for you, for me, or for Mary of heaven at last. But this was a day of rejoicing. Why? Because Christ had risen from the dead. Christ was triumphant. And the proof that the sacrifice that Jesus made upon that cross was accepted in the highest court of heaven lies in the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead that third day. And that grave is now forever empty. We worship a living, risen Jesus. The grave is empty. His throne is occupied. This evening hour, the highest throne that heaven affords is his by right, says the hymn writer. But then again, how many of us would have been satisfied and well pleased with seeing not one but two angels, and to have them speak to us? Such is Mary's love for her Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's not angels she wants to see. It's not angels to satisfy her. Only her Lord can satisfy her. Now, of course, sometimes the Lord has used angels, his messengers. And though it's rare in our day, sometimes he still does. And when he uses them, his people will be satisfied. But you know, friends, if God were to send you an angel this evening hour, if you were to be blessed, it wouldn't be that angel that blessed you, it would be the word of the Lord through that angel. It would be Christ himself who is blessing you. But on this occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was going to bless Mary face to face, and therefore she cannot be satisfied with merely seeing and speaking to angels. Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. Can you call Jesus your Lord, your God, your Redeemer, your Master, your friend? Interestingly, this word Rabboni, the full translation of it is my Master. I looked it up this evening before we came out in the Greek. Literal interpretation is my Master, my Lord. Mary, in her grief and in her trouble, clung to that fact that there was a union between Christ and her. Is there a union between Christ and you? Can you say of him, he is mine? Then you are his. There is an eternal bond that can never break, which death itself will not break. Death is going to break all other bonds. Even the closest of human relationships, death will end. But it will never sever this relationship, it will only strengthen it. Twixt Jesus and the chosen race subsists a bond of sovereign grace that hell with its infernal train can ne'er dissolve, nor rend in train. Hail, sacred union, firm and strong. How great the grace, how sweet the song, that worms of earth should ever be one with incarnate deity. Amazing grace, is it not, that a worm of earth like you or me should be united to Almighty God Himself in His loving purposes? Matchless grace, immeasurable mercy, unending love. Oh, that we might wonder and be amazed more at the loving kindness of God to such unworthy sinners as you and as me. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. The Lord of life and glory in His sovereignty, after His resurrection from the dead, saw fit to withhold Himself from those who He had lived with all those years. You read it again and again in Scripture, how His disciples on various occasions did not recognize the Lord. Mary here did not recognize Him. Those two disciples on the road to Emmaus did not recognize Him. Why? Well, the Lord was teaching them that now He had suffered and died, that He was soon going to be parted from them and taken into glory. Now they had to learn the lesson that it was by the eye of faith and not by the eye of sight that they were to know Him. Now they had to realize that they weren't going to resume that earthly relationship they'd known with Him. It was now to be a spiritual relationship. And the other thing which the Scriptures say to us, have you ever considered this, that since the Lord Jesus died, we have not evidence that He has ever revealed Himself to anybody other than His sheep? He hasn't spoken to anyone else but His sheep. Can you trace that evidence that He's spoken to you, that He's revealed Himself to you? Has He given you a fear not ye? For I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. If He's ever given you one fear not, you will get to heaven. If He's ever given you one fear not, you are going to need that fear not, because there are going to be fears. But that fear not will be strong. Stronger than all that is going to come against it. And that fear not will bring you honourably through and honourably out to that place where there is no more fear and where there is no more need for Him to say, fear not, that's heaven at last. May He whisper to you this evening, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. If he's upholding you with that right hand of righteousness, you're in the best of care. You cannot make shipwreck. You cannot lose the way. You cannot be overcome, because that right hand is better, is stronger than Satan, than the world, than sin, and your own wretched heart. Then fear not. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? He knew that she was seeking him. He knew that she was desirous to find him. He could see into her heart. He saw all the love in her heart, all the brokenness in her heart, all the pain in her heart, all the bewilderment and misunderstanding. He didn't ask this question because he didn't know the answer. He asked that question to encourage her, to tell him all. And so he says it to you this evening, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Again, friends, have you ever wept over your sin? Have you ever wept over a suffering Jesus? Have you ever wept over your own wretched heart? Or have all your weepings only ever been over carnal things? If you're a child of God, you will know what it is to weep over the sufferings of Christ. You will know what it is to weep over your own heart and mourn over it, not necessarily literal tears, but you'll know those heart weeping, that heart rending, that heart groaning after Christ and over your own wretched heart. And again, we have here a question, whom seekest thou? We come to the house of God. In a right way, we are coming because we are seeking Jesus. If we don't come because we seek Jesus, we're mocking him. How many of us came tonight seeking Jesus? Mary sought for Jesus and was found of him, found of her. He has said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. There is that encouragement to seek after him, to desire after him, to long after him. To pray that he will reveal himself to you. To pray that he will draw himself near to you. To pray that you might know Jesus for yourself. To seek that he might speak to you. Whom seekest thou? And then there will be those times when you'll know this drawing near. Mary did not know where Jesus was. Mary couldn't come to him, but he knew where she was. He knew what location she was in, and he knew the state of her heart. And he came right where she was. She couldn't come to him, but he could come to her, and he did. Now you may this evening feel as far off from God as it's able to be on this earth. And you may feel that you are held down by chains, and Satan says to you, it's no use. But Jesus is not bound by those chains. Jesus can come. Even though you feel you cannot come to him, then ask him to draw near. Ask him to reveal himself to you. Ask him to say to you this one word, Mary, and it will make all the difference. She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him. Let's pause here for just a moment. She supposed Jesus was the gardener. And she supposed wrongly. But you know, friends, there's a precious vein of meditation here. Jesus is the heavenly gardener. One of the illustrations of the church is as a garden. You have it in Song of Solomon. Supposing him to be the gardener. It's a gardener. And it is this heavenly gardener that plants, that chooses and plants every plant in his garden and every tree in his garden, and he knows just where the best place is to place each plant, to each tree or each herb. Being all wisdom, he knows those that will need the shade. To thrive. And he knows those that will need to be in the open. Where the sun beats the hottest and strongest. And where the winds blow. And where the rain comes. He knows just where you need to be to bear forth fruit. It may be that he's moved you from the shade. You've known that gentleness, but now there's a testing time. Sometimes plants are kept in the warm, aren't they? Until they grow stronger because they're not ready to withstand the elements. But there comes a time when they have to be put out. And there will come a time when the Lord will put you out. And then you will have to live by faith. And there will be that testing time. There will be that trying time. There will be that endurance. It's not that the gardener has forsaken you. It's that he has seen fit to place you in the appointed place in the garden. Supposing him to be the gardener. The gardener tends each plant. He waters each plant. He feeds each plant. And he knows just what to feed each plant with. Some will need more than others. So he knows just when you need the feeding. And he knows when it is for your good that you should feel hungry and desire after him. And for you having to wait for him. And then the gardener, he knows what he needs to do to break up the hardness of the soil. He knows when he has to weed and uproot the weeds and the thistles and the thorns. He knows what he has to do when it comes to pruning and for your good, for your continued growth and for your continued fruit. You know that pruning time when you lose so much that you thought was real, when you're reduced back to being a small plant, when you seem to be, as it were, almost stripped back to the bare root. It's not to destroy you. It's that you might bring forth more fruit. And you might remember who it is who causes you to bring forth bud and blade and fruit in the first place. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It's not you. You can no more bring forth fruit or maintain life than you could give yourself life in the first place. And the Lord will remind you of that, that he may have the honor and the glory. Supposing him to be the gardener, at the perfect time he will transplant you from the garden on earth to that heavenly garden, where there will be no more wind or storm or weeds, or burning heat, but where it all will be perfect rest, and quietness, and peace. Supposing him to be the gardener, you can trust this gardener. You might not understand what he's doing. And he doesn't have to explain to you what he's doing. But rest in this fact that he is all wise, that he cannot make a mistake, that he cannot be unkind. She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. You see, here in these verses, Mary doesn't mention Jesus by name. Such is her love for her Saviour, she assumes that this one who she thinks is a gardener will know who she's talking about. And here she tells him honestly what she will do. And grace will make you honest. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Just one word. And the darkness of despair was lifted. The tears were staunched. The broken heart was healed. And from the deepest despair, Mary rose to those feelings of great joy. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she recognized immediately his voice. It is my master. That's how she responds. He says one word to her, and she says one word to him. It was a word which said, Mary, I know your tears. I've come down to deliver you. Mary, I know you cannot understand, but later you will understand that it was necessary for me to suffer and bleed and to die. Mary, upon that cross I bore your sin. I bore your guilt. I bore your condemnation. Mary, that you might be with me in heaven, I had to go to that cross for you. Mary. A word in season. A peculiar, particular, special word to her. And the Lord of life and glory knows this evening where his Marys are here in this congregation. And he knows just what to say to you, whether it is one word or many more words than one. There is everything in this word. There was pardon. There was peace. There was deliverance. There was love. There was mercy. There was grace. There was kindness. There was an ownership that she was his child. Mary. Her needs were supplied. She knew what the Isaiah said, speaking in prophecy. Thus saith the Lord. Let's read the verse correctly. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine, Mary. Maybe the Lord has given you this word. And maybe Satan has said to you, it's not enough. He didn't say, fear not. He didn't say, pardon, it was just one word. Beloved friends, if the Lord has spoken one word to you, there was mercy in it. There was pardon in it. There was love in it. There was forgiveness in it. And if he's spoken one word to you, then all those other blessings and promises are yours as well. Mary. He knew his sheep. He came and called his sheep. And she knew him as her master and as her shepherd, as her redeemer and as her friend. And you've known it too, haven't you? Like Mary, you can find an echo in your heart. When he said to you, Mary, you said, master, did you not? Then listen not to the devil. Don't pay him any heed. In that one word that he said to you, there was all the love of the Godhead behind that word. Mary. He didn't need to ask her her name. He knew all about her. He doesn't need to ask what your name is. He knows perfectly your situation. It's a hymn, isn't it? Dost thou ask me who I am? Ah, my Lord, thou knowest my name. Yet the question gives a plea to support my suit with thee. Thou didst once a wretch behold. And Mary once was a wretch. And you must acknowledge it as well, do you not? Thou didst once a wretch behold, in rebellion, blindly bold. Jacob knew it when the Lord in sovereignty did say to him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he remembered with shame the sins associated with him. Thou didst once a wretch behold, in rebellion, blindly bold, scorn thy grace. Thy power defy, That poor rebel, Lord, was I. Can you go into the next verse? May the Lord bring you into it. Once a sinner, near despair, sought thy mercy seat with prayer. Mercy came and set him free, Lord. That mercy came to me. He still shows mercy on his Marys. He still comes down right where they are. He still sends this word of peace and of pardon. He comes and he tends to your needs. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. My Lord, my God, my King, the one who has authority over me. And then she backed up, calling him Master. You notice the following verse. She wanted to touch the Lord Jesus. She wanted to be with the Lord Jesus. What does her master say? Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene here thought that she was going to resume her relationship that she'd known with the Lord and upon earth in the previous years. The Lord says, touch me not, Mary. He's saying to her, Mary, I'm not going to be here for long. Soon, Mary, I'm going to ascend into heaven and at the right hand of the Father, and you must remain upon earth for a season. Touch me not, Mary. Stay no longer with me, but go to my brethren. To Mary was given the privilege of revealing to the disciples that the Lord was risen indeed. These disciples who were then given the authority and that commission to go forth and preach that the Lord had risen indeed. It is Mary who is given the glad tidings and that privilege to impart to them that knowledge. What a privilege and an honour that was. But you see, beloved friends, she obeyed her master. Without question, without delay, without murmuring, she immediately turned and went to the disciples and told them what the Lord had revealed unto her and what he had commanded her to say. We shouldn't call him master if when he then speaks and tells us to do something, we say, not so, Lord. It's a contradiction. It's a mockery. Mary didn't do that. She loved much. She loved her master. And it was her delight for her own will to be submitted to his sovereign higher will. Has he given you something to tell? Has he given you something to say? And as he said to you, go to my brethren, then may the Lord help you to obey your master and to go and tell them of your Jesus and of your Saviour. And Lord, prove that there will be in the keeping of his commandments the answer of a good conscience. That smile and that peace in your heart that you have done as your master has commanded you. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £735, and on Monday for our needy cases funds to £1,023.60, for both of which we're truly thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard. The church meeting is postponed until Monday the 22nd of May, and Mr. Tim Barker is expected to preach on Friday, not Tuesday this week, and Mr. Stephen Hyde is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 545. Truly that poor soul is just, who by faith in Christ can trust, in him live, upon him rest, as the Lord his righteousness. 545.
Thank you.
do forgive. O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong, in our worship of thy great and holy name today, bless thy word unto us. Make us all spiritual Marys. Be with any, Lord, who now depart. Watch over them. Be with them. Bless them. And likewise remain and bestow thy blessing upon us, as we, thy gracious command and invitation, now seek to remember thy dying love, or observe from afar. And Lord, in that great day of judgment, grant that each one here may be partakers of that marriage supper of the Lamb. May none be left out. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, rest and remain with us, now and forevermore. Amen.